Welcome to the Director's Playbook podcast, where we dive deep into leadership, strategy, and innovation with today's most impactful directors and executives. I'm your host, Paul Lovelace, and today we're thrilled to have Chris Johnson, co-founder of SepioGuard, a company redefining peace of mind with its unique away-from-home assurance service. So there you have it. Hi, Chris.
How are you?
Man, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm flattered.
Man, I've been looking forward to this a long time. So I know I put you on the spot last time we were together, and you were kind enough to say yes, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule just to be on the show.
I'm excited to be here. You know, sometimes I'll get invites. Not everybody follows through, so I appreciate you reaching out.
Hey, I'm a man of my word. Leave no doubt. Well, I know a lot of our audience probably is aware of Chris Johnson and SepioGuard and all of that, but would you do me a favor and give a proper introduction to yourself and to the company for just a minute?
Sure. I mean, I'm a simple dude, probably as simple as it gets. Let's see. I started in funeral service in 2010, got recruited in, and fell in love with it. I remember one of the people interviewing me said, kind of as a joke, "You better watch out. You know, if you get into funeral service, it kind of never leaves you.
Gets in your blood."
It's in your blood. It's exactly right. And it's not that I didn't believe him. I just thought that that's something people say. And for me, that was the case. Just fell in love with it and the purpose of it. And kind of the rest is history. But yeah, background in pre-need and pre-need sales and management. And then kind of stumbled into concept of what we do now. And we can dive further into it, but just wanted to create a better way and a better experience for everybody involved. And here we are today. But on a personal note, married, 4 kids. Can't believe my kids are as old as they are. It is crazy. It
goes by fast, man. Enjoy.
It does. But the life outside of work, as many of you are probably, I mean, Paul, you get this, and whoever's listening to this podcast, but I mean, it is go, go, go kids activities and very involved in things. And my wife and I just love it. And we're passionate about supporting them and what they want to do. So
yeah, that's the way to do it. That's the way to live life to the fullest, you know, just blend it in all together and take it as it comes. I love that. Tell me a little bit about SepioGuard. I'm familiar with it, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on today. But for our audience who is not familiar with your company, give us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So let me start with this, a little unconventional, but our purpose that we kind of dove into as a team earlier this year is to lift everyone through the Sepio experience. And we try to keep that at the forefront of our minds and all that we do. But the main purpose of what we do, the concept has been around for years. But essentially, if someone passes away more than 75 miles from home, we take care of all of the logistics and cost and everything that's difficult to get them back to the funeral home of their choice, which is almost always the funeral home they made pre-arrangements with.
Yeah. So such a good service, because again, you never know. And I love the away from home assurance tagline, if you will, because that just gives you, it means peace of mind, and that's what you're giving.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that?
The name. Well, Paul, this is not to get too deep into the weeds right off the bat here, but the name, the tagline, I guess, is, you know, the away from home assurance is the name of the product or what we do. And we were just careful in selecting that. You know, this is fresh in our mind. We just rolled out, did a big training in front of a big group earlier this week. And you know, Paul, we typically ask the group, you know, these are sales professionals, and groups typically have experience with a plan like ours before we kind of come in and partner with them. So they're familiar with the concepts. So one of my favorite questions to ask a group is, hey, in the past, when you've been trying to provide this to your client families, what's the number one objection you get, right? That's if it's being brought up and everything. And it's like clockwork every single time. They say, well, the family tells me I don't travel, right? They don't travel. So what do I do? And classic, we're always like, great, great objection. It's true. It's true. And the main reason why they're getting that objection is based on what they, the preneed agent, are saying to the client family and how they're describing this plan. And they use that word travel, right? And
oh, that's gotta drive you nuts.
It's something that we early on in my preneed days had to learn the hard way of not saying that word. And so what's tricky is, you know, this is widely known in the profession as a travel, you know, product, a travel plan or whatever. And that's the number one killer of success is when you say that T word, we call it. So
don't say the T word, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it. So anyways, we have fun with it, but it's true. That's usually why people say no to something like this is because they associate it with things that they don't think they do all the time. Right. Even though they leave home. And so we're very deliberate and intentional about avoiding certain words. And so we came up with away from home assurance. And so assurance, not insurance, because this is membership based.
Yeah.
And so anyways, yeah, there's
peace of mind. That's what, when you have assurance, it makes you think that things are taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that genius behind that. Was that your idea or Bryce's idea?
It was both of us. Most ideas.
You're the co-founder, right? And Bryce Beach is the other co-founder. I want to shout out to Bryce.
Shout out to Bryce. If you don't know him, you got to get to know him. He's the most level-headed, likable guy there is. And it's classic, Paul. I mean, every once in a while, I might be a little too strong-willed. And if I ever feel like I'm not getting anywhere with certain partners or whatever it is, I always turn to Bryce. Bryce, everybody loves you. You take it from here.
You got this, Bryce.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Well, it's great that both of you have an affinity for what you're doing and can be able to work together so closely and obviously very successful. So hats off to both of you. I've been following you a lot, and so I really admire your website. I don't know who did that for you or who came up with all that, but it's very well done. It's very colorful, lots of calls to action, and tells your story really well. And so, good idea. Was that your idea too?
That was not my idea.
Oh,
you know, we just I guess my idea, so to speak, is a shared idea with our team, but we just want to be, you know, up to date. And kind of show that we are willing to be forward thinking and kind of want to be ahead of the curve and youthful and those certain things. And so, but actually there's just so many great tools out there to create websites these days. And we actually looked around at companies that do it professionally, obviously. And as we kept talking to different companies, in the midst of doing that, one of the guys on our team said, "Hey, can I run with it?" And I'm like, we said, "Sure." I said, "No problem at all." And that's what it is. I mean, we'll constantly be updating it and things, but I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. And it's never really finished. I know one of the first things I noticed was there's a puzzle, I guess, diagram that comes on, and that's paints a picture of Sepio Guard being part of that puzzle, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So this is, it's, you know, it might be a little cliche, but there are different products and things that, you know, one would believe would complete the full puzzle. It's the missing piece. But certainly that's what we find in what we do each and every day, working with funeral professionals and helping people prearrange. I mean, the reality is, Paul, and this is a message we are trying to tell more and more and more. But the reality is, a client family, you know, when thinking about prearrangements, if they make prearrangements with a funeral home, right, their feeling is that everything is taken care of, right? Everything's taken care of. Unfortunately, in most prearrangements still, we're trying to change this, but in most prearrangements, a plan like ours is not necessarily brought up. But typically, it's still something that is somewhat of an afterthought, right? And so we're working hard to change that. But anyways, getting back to the missing puzzle piece, the typical client family, if they were to make prearrangements at a funeral home and not get our plan, but pre-fund their prearrangements, right? Chances are very good they would go home and tell the rest of their family, you know, what they've done. They did it because they love their family and their kids, and they want to create an experience for them. And in their family members' minds, everything is done, right? However, if that person that prearranged was to pass away from home, the surviving family members no doubt would call the funeral home, right? Or the preneed counselor that helped them, whoever the relationship is with. And they would say, you know, my mom or dad or whoever passed away took care of everything. However, they died two states away, right? 250 miles away, right? Something like that. And they would fully expect the funeral home to just take care of them because their loved one took care of everything, right? That's everything is what the intention was. And so obviously what I'm getting at is our product, right? The Away From Home Assurance plan is the missing piece. This is what needs to be part of every plan because the family already expects it. And without it, you have an incomplete puzzle, right?
Yeah. And then there could be disappointment if they don't have that piece of the puzzle taken care of. And so I love that your business was created to solve a problem that many people encounter. And because you could be 250 miles away, or you could be in another country.
Yep.
You could be in a country that's on the other side of the earth. So.
Yep. Yep.
And I kind of want to
make a point here that it's pretty typical that people's minds draw upon how expensive it is to get someone back home. And they've heard horror stories and things. And certainly that's the case. But just way more important than the expenses that we cover is just the emotional heartache and not knowing what to do. We've helped a lot of individuals that have a lot of money, so to speak, or they're part of organizations that might have a lot of money, but it's not really about the money. It's the know-how and how to handle things and to deal with all the red tape and the different laws and regulations and things like that to get someone back home.
So any stories come to mind off the top of your head that since you've been doing this that you helped a family out in this way?
Yeah, certainly, Paul. That's a great question. So I'll tell you an extreme one, but before we get into that, I mean, the things that I find myself talking about most often are the ones that you would think are easy cases, but there's no real such thing, right? But we've had a lot of cases for whatever reason where someone prearranges in Southern California, they die in Northern California, same state. It is harder for us, you know, as far as all the hoops to jump through and the laws and regulations and the time of it to get someone back home from Northern California to Southern California than it is from like Texas to California. It's much easier, it just depending on the state and the county. And so there's so much that goes into it and that people don't understand. And every state, every county is just a little different. So anyways, there's countless stories. We have cases every single day now. We've kind of built it up to the size where every single day we have at-need cases, as we call them. And it's awesome to see. It's also crazy to see, right? How common this is.
It's more common, I think, than people realize. I mean, you read stories about people dying on a cruise ship, or you know, they're over in Europe or something like that, and some strange things happen.
Absolutely. So that reminds me. I will tell you the extreme case that has been somewhat recent, And of course, this was a success story, and the surviving daughter of the deceased just was so grateful and makes it all worth what we do every day, right? She couldn't believe that we're able to do this, but essentially with the help of everybody involved and our logistical partners and things like that, this gentleman passed away on a cruise. And he was, Paul, it's kind of surreal actually. So he was not doing well. The doctor on the boat was having conversations with him that it's not looking good for you. And he reached into his wallet and handed the doctor, our membership ID card and just said, whatever happens to me, call this number. So it was the doctor on the cruise ship that actually reached out to us and said, hey, he has not passed yet. My professional opinion is he's going to any minute, but we are just about to drop him off at a port in New Caledonia, which, Paul, I've never even heard of that before. I don't know.
I was just going to say that.
I'm not the most,
help us out, Chris.
I'm not the most cultured person in the world, but Bryce, my business partner, called me, and just to get very transparent and real, I was coaching a baseball game with one of my kids. It was in the evening time, and he called me, and I knew when he calls, you know, after hours, it's important. And he said, hey, we got this case in New Caledonia. And I said, well, I don't know what that is. Where is that? So it's an island off the coast of Australia, right? But it is a French-owned territory. So there's some tricky things about it, but not to bore you with it, but essentially there were two funeral homes on this island. One of them says, this is what we have to do. We have to locate a trusted funeral home wherever the death occurs, right? To start the process and the preparation to get the deceased back home. Well, the funeral home that this deceased was dropped off to said, we don't handle any of that. We will not prep the body. Cremation is the only option. So, which is something that we will take care of if that's what the family wants, right? If the family wants cremation, then we have to honor their wishes, but that's not our intention, right? So the daughter, we were transparent with the daughter. We reached out, let her know this is the situation. And she just said, I really don't want cremation. I want to get him back home. He prearranged these services, which we want to do as well. We were transparent with her. She understood, but we said, we're going to do everything we can to figure out another way. And luckily the other funeral home that was on the island would accommodate prep of the deceased and ship out, right? So a couple points here, Paul. I know I'm doing a lot of talking here, but the thing about us is even though this person went to the wrong funeral home first, in our opinion, we still took care of the case. And that kind of goes in line with our beliefs and the fact that we don't have like a first call limitation. And we can get into that later if you'd like. But typically a case like that would probably be denied with some others out there, right? And so it doesn't make sense for us to say no, because the person they couldn't control where they got dropped off to, right? So anyways, long story short, we worked with the other funeral home, but the crazy thing is since this is a French territory, the island was, they didn't have all the resources. We had to get a nearby, French territory kind of involved. I believe it was Fiji, something like that. And then we flew the deceased to Paris for more paperwork and more documentation, because New Caledonia was part of France, right? So went to Paris and then flew to a major city in the United States before then flying to where the deceased had pre-arrangements.
That is so wild.
That was an extreme case, obviously.
Yeah.
Most of our
now
cases.
I see why you don't call it a travel plan. You talk about, when you talk about the assurance, that peace of mind, away from home assurance.
Yeah.
That's what happened right there is what I'm hearing.
That's what happened. So anyways, we were grateful that we were able to help out this family, and they were as well. So,
and I think the funeral home was probably really helpful, appreciative.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we come from funeral service, right? And we, our clients are funeral homes, and we're an extension of them. And so the whole concept is people making pre-arrangements. They intend to have this specific experience with a specific funeral home. So what we're saying is, no matter where you die, we're going to do everything we can to get you back to that funeral home so you can have the experience that you intended to have with your family, right? And we know that that's a win for the funeral home as well, because they want to have the opportunity to serve that family. They don't want to lose cases, right?
Yeah, it's almost like you're the funeral director's funeral director in some ways.
And one of our main clients is the funeral director at Time of Need.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing that, by the way. I really appreciate it. Hey, let's go back to the early days. It wasn't that long ago, but I want to hear about, you know, starting a new company, you know, you and Bryce doing it together. Tell me what it was like in the early days to get a new company launched.
Paul, great question. I don't know if I have a very polished answer for this other than we were working in pre-need. We rolled out a plan similar to this, and we just disagreed with how people are being treated. And from top to bottom, just the whole end-to-end experience, we kind of just disagreed with it, and we were living through it, right? We were in charge of a sales territory of about 250 sales agents. And so at scale, we could see that there were some major issues. And so that was the concept, is we just kind of, our names were on this thing at the time that we had just rolled out, and we fundamentally just disagreed with everything. And it was kind of a matter of honesty and integrity, I guess you could say, that we had told people it was going to work a certain way and then it wasn't. And so Bryce and I, both being on that same team and the preenie company we worked with, we just started getting to work, Paul, figuring out if there could be a better way, and what would that feel like? What would that look like? And we quickly just kind of put everything together simply to solve a problem, right, in the profession. And we're passionate about preenie, passionate about the profession and helping people. And we thought, hey, this might be our way of making an impact just a little bit in the profession as a whole, and an impact for good. And so that's kind of how it all started. And we learned a ton. We learned a ton, right? When you get obsessed with something, you learn a lot, right? And it's all you think about. But one of the stories that I'm not sure if I've ever told this, Paul, that is, I guess the trials that both Bryce and myself were going through, on a personal level with our families. And it's interesting how, you know, I'm a religious person. Don't fault me for it, but I mean, God is in the details of everything, right? And I'll try not to get too emotional here, but you know, Bryce, we're launching this thing, very stressful, right? I at the time had 4 kids, and you know, mortgage in Southern California, it's a ridiculously stupidly expensive place to live, and was doing fairly well and loving what I was doing. And we're saying, hey, we're just gonna blow that up, and we're gonna start our own thing here and take all this risk, right? And Bryce was on his way to have a family. He's married, baby on the way. I was literally, Paul, in negotiations with kind of our current employer and how we were going to, you know, branch off, but still partner with them, hopefully. And it was sticky. It was crazy. It was a lot of back and forth and high stressful moments. We were in charge of managing their biggest client by like 3 or 4x or whatever it was at the time, their key relationship at the time. We didn't want to ruin that. They didn't want us to ruin that. You know, it was just a sticky time. Well, in the middle of these negotiations, I got a call from Bryce that they were about to lose their baby. Very far into their pregnancy, and it was just devastating, right? Put everything into perspective right away. And poor Bryce and his wife, Ashley, they had to deal with this horrible situation in their life, right? They had tried for a while to get pregnant and to have a family. They finally did, and they had this complication, and they had to go through a funeral service of their own, right? Wow. In the midst of us trying to start this company and taking all this risk and leap of faith and everything. So he had to deal with that. It was crazy. He had to deal with that. At the same time, right when we were launching the business, my wife got in a car accident, and she actually, her car was totaled. This is going to sound worse than it was, but she got knocked out in the crash, but she came to and was like, I'm fine. Right. And, now I'm looking back. She didn't seem exactly fine, but, so what happened is, turns out 5 months after the crash, Paul, she actually suffered a brain injury that we didn't understand and know. And, she began on this journey of some very interesting, odd health issues. Because of the brain injury, she lost some motor functions. She couldn't walk for a certain time. She couldn't speak. Again, it's not something that I've talked about too much, but you know, we're in the midst of launching this company, and all I could think about was,
yeah,
you know, is my wife going to be around? And luckily, and I apologize, but luckily, you know, our church family locally stepped up. They picked up my kids from school for like solid 6 months, fed us.
Wow.
You know, it's just a huge blessing that everything was able to come together. But I look back on that, Paul, and I actually know that that was a huge blessing, because I didn't have time to stress over starting the business and some of the, quite frankly, some of the petty things going on in some of the, you know, relationships and things like that, that happen when you go start your own thing and you take the leap and you leave a company and things like that. And so I didn't have time to worry about that. I could just, all I could focus on was my wife and my family. And that was a huge blessing, because in reality, I think that we were set up for a lot more success and resiliency having gone through those trials, both Bryce with his family and mine with mine. And we now look back and we're just actually grateful for those hard things. And that's just how life goes. Paul, you know this.
Yeah, but you and Bryce both were where you needed to be in that moment. And I really appreciate you sharing those stories. That means a lot. And you were able to persevere. And now look at you guys experiencing unparalleled success. Can you talk about that a little bit? What's success looking like for SepioGuard right now?
Success for us is just continuing to love what we do. I mean, we love it. We love our team. We love our partners. We've grown a lot. Paul, I don't know if I'm being naive or what, but we don't intend to grow this crazy huge business. We want to be the best at what we do, but we want to do it in a unique way, and we want to do it with the right people on our team, the right partners. One of the things we focus on a lot is one of our values, and it sounds cheesy, but it's this value of win together. And basically what that means is, let's have an abundance mentality, right? When our partners are doing well, we're doing well. Right. And we want to just be on the same team and root for each other and win together.
I know when I think about success, you know, we've been blessed with a lot of success as well. And so Chris Seal, our president and CEO, is always reminding us about complacency, because that's one of the greatest enemies of success. And I just was thinking about that here. And I wonder if you guys have had some of those same thoughts about some of your successes and trying to battle against being complacent.
Well, 100%. I mean, we're in a much different position, I'm sure, than you guys are. And with your history and everything you've accomplished, it's just incredible. And we're still so relatively new. I mean, we just formed the company in 2018, didn't really get started until the end of 2019, right? So it is fairly easy to think, oh, we better be going in the right direction because we're small, right? I mean, earlier this year, we surpassed the 100,000th membership mark, right?
Wow. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I mean, again, that's tiny compared to a lot of companies out there in our profession and things like that. But our growth has been rapid. And, you know, we do say, kind of similarly to what you just said about Chris Seal, but we say if we're not actively growing and striving to grow, then we're slowly dying. So, I mean, it's really that concept that there's no such thing, and I mean this in life and in everything we do, you're either progressing or you're not. There's no such thing as staying in between. And I know that might sound harsh or too black and white or whatever, but if you're not actively growing, then you're slowly dying. I mean, that's what we believe.
Well said, Chris. Well said. I believe that wholeheartedly. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Sepio socks. Whose idea was it to have the socks? I got to know.
This idea was Tyson Williams.
Tyson.
Yep. And he is just personality. Plus, the thing about Tyson is he's a man of many talents, right? But one of his main talents is he's a connector, right? He just knows. He knows a lot of people. He's well-liked. And it is classic, Paul. It's like clockwork. If we see a cool brand, like a clothing brand or whatever, we immediately call Tyson. Do you know somebody at this company? Can you get us a deal, a discount or whatever? So he's just that kind of guy. But he early on in, it was our second convention ever. So it was going into 2020, or I guess things got shut down. Maybe it was the first convention just back in person after COVID. He had a connection. One of his friends worked at a probably the biggest sock company out there. And he was in charge of some of these relationships with the factories with the sock company. And he had a relationship with this previous factory that this company was using before they built their own factory, right? And Tyson says, hey, I think I can get some really cool socks for Sepio. Would you ever be interested in doing that? And I'm like, I love socks for sure. And he described them to me and the material and things. I'm like, why not? Let's give it a shot and we'll bring it to the convention and see what happens, you know? And so that's the idea behind it. And they took off and people love it.
They more than took off. It's bananas.
Well, here's the deal.
Socks are everywhere.
With you guys, we did a collab, first collab we ever did with FDL. And by the way, you guys got a reorder. I don't know if this is a secret or not, but you guys got a reorder coming first of the year for much more. And they are awesome. I was just wearing your socks, the collab socks, just the other day. And it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's so great. But there's a marketing principle there. And you just think about getting your name on it. And, you know, people see Sepio Guard everywhere. If they're not wearing the socks, they're talking about wearing the socks. It's all over social. You know, these are just things that really reinforce the top of mind, you know, awareness. And I'm sure that was part of your strategy, I guess.
Well, it is. And branding is very important this day and age, obviously, and marketing. And so initially that was the whole thing. And I guess the slogan or whatever is that, you know, what do socks have to do with Sepio Guard? Nothing. And I mean, while that's true, we're not a sock company, we've now learned that actually they do have something to do with our company, because when we're talking about winning together, we're talking about lifting everyone through the Sepio experience and things like that. Like, wearing the socks is part of the experience. I know that sounds ridiculous, but they're a good product and we're happy to get them into the hands of whomever. And our hope is that when people put them on, they think of Sepio, not like, hey, remember me, think of me. It's like, yep. How do they feel when they put those on? And hopefully that's an extension of the feeling they have when they're working with us. And
yeah, and it's a good marketing principle. Like, for our listeners here, funeral directors, funeral home owners, you know, a good lesson there is get your name on it. And not everyone, I mean, marketing and branding is hard, but whatever you do, your name is important. And so for how you display your name, how you talk about your name, how people see your name, all that matters.
Absolutely. And you're seeing it now with a lot of different companies and people out there. They have their names on things and you're like, what in the world? Why do they have, like, here's an example, Paul. I opened my cupboards just last week and there was a box of like 25 or 30 beef jerky sticks with the Mr. Beast name on it. Mr. Beast is the YouTube guy that I guess I've seen some of his videos. I know who he is for sure.
I know who he is.
I thought, why is his name on this beef jerky? And then I find his name's on so many things. And, you know, I thought of him when I was eating the beef jerky. It was good. It was great.
You're telling me marketing works?
Yeah, marketing works.
Marketing works. Thanks for sharing that. So what's next? How are you going to beat the Sepio socks? I mean, what's next?
I don't know. I don't know. But we do intend to double down on the socks, right? Those aren't going anywhere. We have many different styles in production right now and that'll be landing. I think what we like doing, Paul, is like around specific events within the profession. It's really fun.
Yeah.
You know, Dead Talks is one. Shout out to Dead Talks.
Yeah.
That we've made a sock for the last few years. We'll do it again. And it's going to be better.
Hey, I'm going to put a plug in for Over the Calf Socks.
Over the Calf Socks.
Men of my age, because one of my pet peeves about socks is when they fall down, like around your ankles.
Paul,
sometimes.
We call those quitters, right? Quitters. Okay. Those are the ones where you're walking around and they quit on you. Nobody wants a quitter.
That's when I throw those away. I gotta get some new ones.
Hey, I would be all about the over. You're talking like almost to the knee. Was that what you're talking about?
Yeah, over the calf. Men's hosiery.
I'm all about that because half the people think that they're compression socks anyways, right?
Yeah.
Are these compression socks? I'm like, well, not really, but I guess. Yeah. But and so over the calf would be selfishly be fantastic. You know why? Because every single baseball team my kids have ever been on, they'll see the socks. They might get a pair of socks and stuff and they can wear them when they're wearing the long pants. Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of the players these days wear the pants that are like at their knee or even right above their knee. They get
stylish.
That's the stylish and our socks won't work for that. But the problem is we have to do a minimum of hundreds per order. And so if you're saying on this podcast, and this gets out to how many thousands of listeners over the calf?
Yeah.
It would serve
a demand. Two purposes.
Everybody listening, let us know, right? If that's a desire. And then everybody.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's a chance. And what about you could do heat, like electric socks?
Electric socks.
For our northern friends who are freezing right now. But the options are limitless, you know?
Listen, real talk, obviously the golf sock and the no-show sock, it is something that we could do. The problem is you can't really put a logo on those socks because you'll feel it in your shoe. And if you can't do a logo and they don't know where the socks came from, I don't know. So we haven't gone there. We're just sticking to our guns.
Yeah, you're probably right. Stick to what's working.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, good deal. So we've talked about success. We've talked about the socks. Let's talk about leadership here a little bit, because this is a leadership podcast, and you are, in my mind, an excellent example of a good leader. So what kind of leadership advice would you be able to give some of our audience today?
You know, I'm going to stick to my guns, and transparency is key. Transparency is key when we're working, in our daily life at Sepio and working at need cases, but from a leadership standpoint, I think just being authentic and, honest and showing people that you care, because you actually really do, and I think that's been, I've been very lucky. First of all, I got a lot to learn. There's no doubt. I've been very lucky to have fantastic people on our team, and we genuinely love each other, right? And I think that, I guess that goes down to making the right hires. And when you make the right hires, it's really, really easy to love your team members and love the people. And then from there, you could just be very authentic in yourself. And it's been easy to love our team members, right? So anyways, transparency, honesty, obviously that concept of servant leadership. I don't know if I'm very good at that or not, but love working hand in hand with our team and our partners. It's kind of like, if you need something and I'm able to do it, why not just do it, right? And try our best to help people and try our best to create a unique experience. That's my advice. But if you have any follow-up questions on that, let me know.
No, you're the real deal, Chris Johnson. And that's good advice right there. And I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's hard for any of us to be 100% authentic and transparent sometimes, because we're trying to look a certain way or act a certain way. And so I think that's good advice, just to be yourself. And people connect to that. They're drawn to that. Oftentimes, and I think it does go hand in hand with who you're hiring, because they're drawn to that vision and that purpose.
You guys at FDL have done a fantastic job of being who you are, and our shout out to you guys, like on our visits with you and our interactions, every time our team, it resonates with our team, first of all. And second of all, we always leave and we make comments. How awesome is it that they are very unapologetically themselves? And that is so refreshing in a day and age where I get it. You have to be so careful about everything you do, and we are, but at the same time, just be yourself. And if people don't respect that, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, yeah. Right? But
it's okay.
That's kind of how you guys are going about your business. And obviously it's working. It's super refreshing. You're transparent. You share your beliefs. It's awesome. And I for one, absolutely love it. Our whole team loves it. And I no doubt that's why you've been one of the main reasons why you've been so successful.
That's kind of you to say, for sure, Chris. But Chris Seal, we follow his lead on that, and he's got great instincts, and he leads with his heart a lot. He's a man of faith, and he wears that on his sleeve. And I think that's one of the things that makes us different. So thank you for recognizing
it's
that.
True. It's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, I think we didn't touch on a lot of the things that I had on here, but that's okay. We got some good stuff. Let's move to kind of a wrap up here. And, I want to give something for our listeners here as far as a message about today's conversation. What's one takeaway that you could leave with our audience today?
One takeaway that was not deliberately or wasn't intentionally said, and we didn't even really dive into it, but as I was sharing the experience that we were going through when we were first launching Sepio, in life, everything that is going to be good happening in your life, it's like before that, you always go through a struggle, right? I'm not talking about work. I'm just talking about life. And it also is in work, but it is like clockwork, right? When anybody is about to do something that's worthwhile or good or important or whatever you want to say, call it, that's how life works, is you go through these trials, friction, whatever it is. And it's my opinion that if you push through it, there's always something good on the other end. And if you're going through it right now, that just means something good's going to happen, right? It can't be all bad forever. It really can't.
Yeah, and it's almost as if we're being prepared for something greater.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is. And you can't possibly know what you're being prepared for, but if you can build on that tribulation, then look out.
Look out. Yep. Anyways, that's one takeaway from today, that it doesn't really have to do with work or the profession or anything, right?
That's a golden nugget right there. Thank you for sharing that. Chris, thank you for sharing your story and your vision with us today. Your approach to innovation and customer care in such an emotionally significant place is truly inspiring. For our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about SepioGuard and all of its services, visit SepioGuard.com. And as always, thank you for tuning in to Director's Playbook, where we uncover the strategies behind great leadership. Until next time, keep leading with purpose.